everything, it can be shiny and new, but not everything will be right for your organization. And I think that also takes a certain level of creative problem solving. Like, okay, this might be really cool, but it may not work here in my environment. It might be really shiny and fun, but it's really not a practical way to maybe deliver something or approach something.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your host, Leanne Lankford. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is an L&D contract staffing company. We like to say, Training Pros, when you have more projects than people, let us find you the right consultant to start your project with confidence. I am really excited today about my guest. Today, I'm joined by Cherie Applin, the Senior Director of Leadership Development at Edward Life Sciences. Welcome, Cherie.
Hi, Leanne. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you here. So could you share with our audience a 60-second overview of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, okay, 60 seconds. So I have the honor and privilege of leading a small team at Edward Life Sciences, very deep expert L&D professionals. We are almost mini, we're a mini consulting company within a big global company. We customize all different types of leadership development programs for virtually all leaders in the organization, because we believe everyone's a leader at Edwards. So anywhere from self-leaders to our executive leaders, and we just, again, try to give them whatever they need to accelerate their leadership capabilities as soon and as quickly as possible. So we are global. We have 72 offices all across the globe, and we also specialize in med device products, specifically healthcare and heart valve therapies, one of the premier leaders of heart valve therapies. So super interesting place. We have very, very smart employees at our organization, and it's always fun to learn from them as well. So thank you for asking me that question.
I have so many questions about everything you just said. So you get to work in a company that does wonderful things to save people's lives, and then you get the big company, but the small consultancy all at the same time.
Yes, it's super creative. And I think that's what I love, is this creative problem solving. We do have broad leadership programs that we push out, you know, that are off the shelf, but a lot of the times it's more niche. And so what we do is, when we design learning journeys and different types of programs, but we try to do a lift and shift so that what we design, we can repurpose and then do slight tailoring. So we're not always redesigning from scratch. So that's super fun. I should probably also say I'm a mom. And I'm a wife, and I love to play, you know, I love to be active, because you asked, you know, I've got a lot going on, but I do really have a lot of passion for my work. And I think the reason being is it allows me to be creative and productive and make a difference in people's lives. And not only at work do I help enhance and elevate people, but the work that we do also saves lives all around the world. So for me, that's just the ultimate match.
So I love that you included that you're a wife and a mom in there, because that's part of our identity. We can't get away from that at work either.
Yes. Yes. I'm very proud of my crazy little family.
So what originally attracted you to the L&D field?
Undergrad, I was a communications major, and it was pretty broad. I went to UC Santa Barbara, and it was more philosophical. So you could do a lot of different things. My friends were going into journalism, marketing, human resources, kind of the gamut, and teaching. So teaching always seemed to pop up. Even in my sorority, I was the pledge trainer. I always seemed to land these roles in education, in my career, everywhere. So that teaching aspect always seemed to kind of raise its head and kind of signal, this might be something you might enjoy or something you'd like. And like any person that graduates college, you've got all these options and choices. And at first I thought I wanted to be an anchor. So I worked for several TV stations. And then when I recognized I had to leave my family and move really far away and do a couple things, I just didn't want to do that. So I landed my first job working in HR and human resources. I always think if you treat people well in a business that the profits will come. So HR, I really enjoy the idea of that. I ended up in a communications department, which was with the professional writers, and learned a lot about writing and that I didn't like to just sit and write. I was more of a presenter or somebody who needed to be around people, and I was more verbal. So I decided one day to just sign up for some classes that they were offering internally. So they had a corporate training department. And I remember taking my first class, I was probably 21 years old, and thinking, that's such a cool job. I had no idea that companies hire people to actually train people internally. And it just stuck with me, and I didn't come back to it for a little while. I remember we relocated, my husband got a promotion and we relocated, and I had to quit my job and I had to start over again. And there were no jobs in this small town that I was living in Oregon. But one of the banks was acquired, and I happened to be a customer of this bank. And I had talked to one of the employees, and they said, hey, you know, we've just been acquired by this big bank. It was Washington Mutual at the time. And they said, and they're looking for people to do training, all this technical training, acquisition training. And I know you've been looking around, and I know it's hard to find bigger jobs here in this town. And I just said, well, I threw my name in a hat, and I had to do a presentation, and I'd never interviewed that way before. And I really enjoyed it, and I got the job, and that was it. It was just a match made in heaven. And I loved the whole idea of trying to understand what helps people learn the best way, because it's always different, right? Everyone learns differently. I don't know. I've been doing this now since, 1995, which is scary, but yes, we can do the math on that one.
I can do it easily. I started in 92.
Okay. So it's been a little while. Yes.
It's been a little while. Yes. So when we started, they didn't have things like e-learning.
Absolutely not. Everything was in person. People were brought in from everywhere. We've had up to like hundreds of people doing big presentations on stage to 20 people learning how to be bank tellers back in the day, or learning how to use systems. Leadership development, though, was something I fell into when I went to go back to HR, and the president of a smaller company that I worked for, he knew that I'd had a training background, and he said, hey, would you mind going to get certified by this company called DDI at the time? Didn't even know what DDI was. I said, sure. So I got certified by DDI, and I started from scratch and built a leadership development program at this company and also a customer service program from scratch. And so I love to build. And again, that's part of the creative process for me. I love every aspect of it, from identifying what we're trying to solve for, like in what behaviors we want as the best outcomes, and then the whole design process of how to build the content, create an engaging learning experience, and then, of course, to deliver it. And like you said, nowadays, we have so many different ways to deliver. The modalities have really shifted through the years.
So that's an incredible story, and you've had a lot of really good fortune to be offered this freemium certification early in your career and all of these different opportunities. And I would think that when you did your tryout to be a trainer, to be join the training department, your communications background and your training to be an anchor and all that really helped you with that tryout.
It did. But you know, every time, and I know I hear this from so many people, no matter when I ever do anything, it could be a small group or a big group, there's always that anxiety right before you go in front of an audience. And for me, it's a good energy, although sometimes I just have learned how to breathe and do different things, but I can't help but always get myself pumped up, and that anxiety always comes up. I know it doesn't usually cross over when you're up on stage, and usually when I'm done, I'm exhilarated. And I guess that's when you know you really love something. When it doesn't drain you, it actually energizes you. And I always try to share that with people, because people think just because you're good at something doesn't mean it's a strength if it drains you. But what I do definitely energizes me. And that anxiety is real. But I manage it in a way that helps give me that energy I need to be energized, I guess. That makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. So one of the things I learned to do was these exercises that put me into something called state. It's like gets all my energy up, you know, at the highest peak before I get in front of people. And the other thing that you mentioned was the, you know, it energizes you. I once had to, in an entrepreneurial program, allocate each thing that I had to do every day for a week in terms of, do I hate it? Do I do it? It's okay. Do I like it? All right. And then the fourth one was, does this make me want to get out of bed in the morning?
Yes, yes. That's kind of a good way to think about it too, right? That's a great way to identify where you're getting your joy, for sure.
Exactly. And then there, you know, the whole idea was get rid of the ones that are, you know, you don't actually like to do, and then try to get more of the things that make you want to get out of bed. But that's hard to do.
Yeah, some jobs, I mean, all jobs come with probably a certain percentage of things that are ho-hum or on that list, right? But I agree. I think the most important thing is trying to find a job where most of the time you're doing things that make you want to get out of it, for sure.
Yes. So you've been in the industry about as long as I have. What are the biggest changes you've seen in the last few years?
Well, I think we've brought it up already around this idea around, I'll never forget when somebody started talking about doing virtual type of training or e-learning. I remember at the time everybody was like, well, that's just never going to be effective. That's just not going to work. And I remember one of my former bosses, she came from a tech company, actually HP, and she had used, you know, technology before. She did whiteboarding and all kinds of different things virtually, and we were working remote. Getting back to your point, I think people are more scattered. And again, I was working in California, but I was in Southern California and she was in Northern California. I had employees in Arizona. This is in the US, but they were geographically scattered. So the idea that I would have to go be on a plane and constantly be traveling around just wasn't realistic, and budgets were tight. So we started leveraging heavily virtual learning. We call them VILT, like, right? Virtual instructor-led training. I remember doing my very first one and thinking, this is cool. Again, not knowing what to expect, you know, kind of leaning into something new. Little skeptical at first, but what we did was we had a team go through an e-learning, and then we did a virtual instructor-led application session. So I came in for about 90 minutes and we basically applied the e-learning concepts to the business, having peer-to-peer learning and having everyone share how they received the information and how they gave examples on how they could leverage it in their day-to-day. So super effective, super energizing, very efficient, very quick. And from there, it opened up a whole new realm of ways to deliver content and to help get, you know, learning in people's hands really quickly. And of course, since then we have AI, we have virtual reality, like we're all experimenting with different types of modalities. We have platforms now that can deliver cohort-based learning to hundreds of people. You know, at Edwards, we're probably a little slow to the trigger on the technology piece, and that's more of our internal infrastructure. But I definitely know it's there. I love to play with it. I love to lean in to different modalities of learning through your phone, through whatever method that we look at. People are learning in the flow of work now. And the traditional way that we used to deliver content or training is varied now depending on the type of company you work for and the type of infrastructure. And I have a geographically dispersed team, and I have a geographically dispersed 25,000 employees. And my team is a team of maybe four. So clearly we have to be really agile in the way that we approach learning. So I think, again, agility is definitely the speed of design has definitely increased. We don't have the luxury of spending a whole lot of time. We used to do storyboards and, you know, work with all our subject matter experts. It could take maybe 6 months to a year to actually create a really high quality learning content. Now, you know, with AI and different technologies, we can produce it in maybe a week if we really want to. So I think technology has definitely helped us for rapid design, and just the tools that there are every day, there's new tools coming on the market that can help us be more creative in the way we get content out to people and help them with their development needs.
Where do you think that we are headed then? We've talked about all the different great things we can do now. Where do you think we'll be in a few years from now?
Yeah, so there's been this discussion around, you know, soft skills or the new hard skills, right? And now that we have learning platforms such as AI or content that we can grab from AI, I think the idea is that we need to be a lot more critical in the way we evaluate that content. And part of it is going to be more around leveraging our emotional intelligence, our soft skills or critical thinking, our collaboration, because people are going to be working more and more with one another and having to leverage networks, their networks. More and more, I think social learning is going to become really important, peer-to-peer learning and social learning platforms. Data-driven learning measurements, how do we need to also provide evidence that we really are moving the needle, because the investment in learning can be quite costly. So the business is going to, you know, really expect a lot of the understanding of the evidence of that we're really moving the needle. So I think data-driven learning around measuring employee behavior, learning effectiveness is going to become critical. And then I'm a big fan of simulations and immersion training. So I hope, like with these different technologies, that will create more opportunities for people to immerse themselves into situations that feel real, but they're not, and they can experiment with their behaviors and try new things in a safe way before they actually have to try it out for real. And again, I think I mentioned, how do we get learning into the flow of work or into the flow of life, really, you know, these days, because people are working differently than they ever have been. The traditional going to a job, you know, for like a core hours. I work for a global team, so there's no such thing as core hours, but it's up to me to really figure out how to manage my work through the day. And it could be 24/7 if I wanted it to be, which I don't, by the way. I don't think that's healthy, of course. But again, it's something that we create when you think about when we learn best too. I may learn better at night. I'm a night owl. So I might want to turn on my learning in the evening when my brain starts to activate. So people have a lot more freedom to learn and learn in different ways. And the way we work is changing rapidly. And so learning is changing. It needs to change as rapidly as the workplace.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
I am interested to see how learning is going to be changing. It seems like there's changes to the way we're providing training every few months. It's updating and changing.
Yes.
And then we have these newer generations coming through who want to learn in a different way than we do. So I think it's going to be the rate of change right now is a little mind-boggling. So it should be interesting to see where we are a year, 2 years from now.
Yeah. And I guess also too, I hope with all the change, with the fast pace and all the change going on, that we can take a pause every now and then. And I think we talked about this earlier, being a little bit more reflective. You know, I feel that the pace has been so fast, and I think we've lost sight of the fact of how important it is to also take time and go deep in your brain and really do more reflection so that the work has a balance of breadth and also depth. I think in the past, you could be a subject matter expert and go super deep, but then if you don't stay broad, you're going to get left behind. So there's this balance of, yeah, I've got to get out there, I've got to go broad, but I also need time just to reflect, to go deep, and then having that nice balance. So creating opportunities for your brain just to relax, I think, are times where you can be your most creative. So it's something I'm working on. This has been an area where I try to focus. And so I just hope for people that are coming into this industry, think about the importance of reflection time, even built into the learning effectiveness and the programs we're running.
That's a really good point. Let's switch gears for a minute. Do you have a professional mentor in your background that was particularly impactful for you?
Yeah. So I remember thinking about that. And I would say that definitely my leaders, my good leaders and my bad leaders have influenced me along the way. Probably some of my bad leaders have always taught me what I don't want and what I don't like. But when I thought about this question, I keep going back to Marshall Goldsmith. I go back to Marshall Goldsmith, who now teaches at Dartmouth Tech School, but he wrote that book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And for me, as a L&D, I don't know what I am, an L&D expert in this field, that is so true. Because the minute you think you've got where you need to be, a whole new set of learning needs to happen. And if I look at leadership development and I look at all the different people that we've impacted at Edwards and other companies I've worked for, the minute someone gets promoted into that great new role, there's a whole new set of skills that they need to sharpen. And so never really getting complacent. And I think that's what Marshall taught me. And the other thing I love, he had a video one time that I sometimes think about, especially when I'm overwhelmed, let's just say, overwhelmed with the pace. And he literally does this physical thing where he goes, let it go with his hands and his arms. And he just goes, take a deep breath and literally let it go. And I have shared that with people that are going through, you know, a lot of change or feeling a little anxiety or need just to take a pause, going back to reflect. But I just think if you ever get a chance to listen to him, he's got all kinds of TED Talks, and I know he's done all kinds of work, video work, written many, many books. The other person that I have to mention would be Maya Angelou, American poet and civil rights activist. And I love what she said, that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. People will never forget how you make them feel. And for me in the L&D space, what we teach is really the how. I think we all know that we're all here to achieve. We're a very achievement-focused society. But achievement doesn't come at all costs. It's the how we achieve things that matter. And it's how you make people feel every day. So I think in the L&D space, we have that opportunity to create an environment that's safe, that really demonstrates what we call psychological safety. And I hope that environment that we create, which is very purposeful and intentional, we model that those leaders that come through our program can take that with them to their environment and can continue to be that role model. Because I think that's really how most people learn, really, is by modeling behavior from their environment. So I really love that Maya Angelou quote around how you make people feel really matters. And that's what people remember the most.
I couldn't agree more. I definitely don't remember much about what was taught to me by certain people, but I do remember how they made me feel as about myself, about my work, about the work environment, everything. Great points. So what do you think is one of the most important skills for someone to have today in L&D?
Well, I think that probably critical thinking, creativity, critical problem solving. I call it creative problem solving and agility. So if I look at my team, I see them as performance consultants, not corporate trainers. We don't, that whole idea around being a corporate trainer in my world, it is almost antiquated at this point. I really see people in the L&D space as creative problem solvers. And what they're doing is they're looking at how do I accelerate people to be their most effective individually, as a team, and as an organization. And I also love that when we do that well, we not only impact people at work in a positive way, but we also give them tools that help them in their life, right? So relationship building is another skill that I think is absolutely critical for the L&D space. Knowing how to build strong relationships, knowing how to be agile, and knowing how to be a creative problem solver are the three things I typically look at when I'm looking for bringing someone onto our team.
That's great information. Our listeners will appreciate hearing that. Where do you get your industry news and information?
I pretty much get it everywhere these days, right? Because with all of the things that get pushed to us through our devices. But I thought about this question and I was thinking that I do like to go to occasional conferences. I do think conferences help you. Sometimes I think some organizations get super insulated and start to think they're, you know, very special and unique. And that's all great. I think Edwards does too. But at some point, you've got to bring fresh ideas, fresh thinking into the business, or otherwise they get too stagnant, right? So my goal is to try to challenge myself. And I know it's sometimes just hard to break away and go, but every time I do, I get to meet great people like yourselves, you know, at these conferences. It's energizing. I really take advantage of all the different opportunities to network and meet people and learn new things that are maybe different than what I'm doing today. The other part is then I go back and I share it. The key is to pay it forward and share it within my team internally or share it with whoever I can internally. And also be realistic in that everything, it can be shiny and new, but not everything will be right for your organization. And I think that also takes a certain level of creative problem solving. Like, okay, this might be really cool, but it may not work here in my environment. It might be really shiny and fun, but it's really not a practical way to maybe deliver something or approach something. So I think I've learned that over the years because I definitely, there's so many fun things out there. It's like a kid in a candy store and you being discerning and really thinking about what problem you're really solving for. And is that the right tool or resource that you really need for that particular problem? So I do like industry conferences. And then I do like Harvard Business Review. I think they do a really good job keeping fresh and up to date on the research that's out there. So I tend to read those reports. McKinsey is another one that I listen to. And I'd like to also join communities of practice. So when I go to these networking events, often I meet others and there's a lot of people out there in our industry that hold communities of practice with other like-minded people. And that just gives you some great social collaboration and networking for us to continue to sharpen our saw. I'd say communities of practice, occasional conferences, and some of the research companies like Harvard Business Review and McKinsey are pretty good sources. And then I like to interview people every now and then, new companies that are popping up that may have different new creative ways of, you know, pushing out learning. You never know. You know, people are so creative these days and you might bring in somebody new, like a new idea into your organization. Fridays, I try to stay fresh and maybe take a look at a different vendor that has something unique or different that I'm interested in learning more about.
So those are a lot of great sources. So at the time of this recording, it's fall, which is conference season is wide open again. I just got back from one this week and I'm headed out for another one next week. And I just signed up for another one for December. It's a great way to see what's happening right now in the industry. Yeah. And then those McKinsey and all those are great sources. And then if you can get into a community of practice of people who are in this, a similar position to you, what a great source of information. I love it.
Yes. You know, just like we teach, right? So I think that having that external lens does definitely help keep you fresh and helps you stay modern with the times.
I love it. Okay. Last question, my favorite one. This is how I get my reading list. What is one book that you would recommend someone who wants to be a learning leader should read?
Yeah. Okay. I haven't read it yet. I have to admit, but I'm really excited to read it because I read the reviews on it. The book that I'm going to read that I just ordered on Amazon is called The Modern Learning Ecosystem, A New L&D Mindset for the Ever-Changing Workplace. It's written by J.D. Dillon. He worked for Disney and he's a practitioner. It had a 4.9 rating on Amazon. You know, I'm going to give it a whirl. And I think we talked about this. I don't read as much as I love to listen to podcasts and also to listen to audiobooks. But either way, it's really fun to go for long walks and, you know, listen to an audiobook like this just to generate some new ideas, new ways of thinking. And again, listen from your fellow practitioners. They have a lot of great experiences and that I love the storytelling of listening to our practitioners. So I look for books typically written by practitioners in our industry. And I really try to listen to as many different stories of the way people have approached this industry. And I'm sure as you continue in this career, a lot of these stories kind of repeat themselves and they show up in different ways, but they are always have lots of wisdom and lots of learnings from just sharing your stories in these books.
That's a great book to try to read. We had JD do a webinar for our consultant last year. And so we gave away several copies of that book.
But good. So I have a ton of books back here. I have Brené Brown, Atlas of the Heart. I've got Deep Work. I've got Strength Finders, you know, I've got Impact Players and Multipliers by Liz Wise. I have a lot of books. And typically when we talk about leadership development, we basically read the books, and then we start to think, how can we customize this content in a way that resonates with us so that we can really draw from some of these great stories these books are telling us.
And somebody, a practitioner, took a lot of time to lay out that book and tell their story. I find that's when I'm reading those, especially the leadership development type books, I need to build in that reflection time as I'm reading, because otherwise I'll find I've read the whole chapter and say, I didn't think of a single way that I'm going to apply this.
It's great reading, right? But how do we make it, how we apply, right? So yeah, there's another book too. It's called Care to Win. There's a guy named Alex Draper who has this new book out called Care to Win. It's the 4 leadership habits to building high performing teams. And as my typical self, actually Marshall Goldsmith wrote the prelude to it. So that's interesting. I just noticed, but I just started, you know, skimming through this book. I can't say I read the whole thing because I like to skim. But there's the human skills are the ones that get the hard stuff done. You know, everything that I think we've just talked about around caring to win is why I love what I do, right? I think the idea around caring for others and caring for the work we do, it's a win. So anyway, that might be a great book for people too, Alex Draper.
I think it sounds wonderful. I want to take a look at that as well. And you're right. It's just wonderful to work in a field where we help people. It makes you feel good about what you do for a living.
Yeah, I feel really lucky because, you know, again, I have my other fellow HR people, you know, they're doing different work, like maybe laying people off or, you know, having to do terminations. I'm like, I don't have to do that. I'm in HR, but I still get to elevate people every day and really help enhance their skills. And you never know how you will impact people. Because I know often when I am facilitating a session, people will come up to you afterwards and you just have no idea where what they're going through at that time or what's happening in their business or what's happening in their personal life. And then they'll share something that you might have shared with them or something you taught them or something that impacted them, that aha moment, right? And it's so energizing to know that you have the ability to really make a difference in people's lives in a positive way. That's what I'm passionate about. So get in the field. I think it's awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing with our audience today. You have been an amazing guest with so much good information. As our thank you to you, I would like to plant 5 trees in your name.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're planning right now on the Monarch Butterfly Project, where we're planting trees along the Monarch migration pattern to help encourage the population to grow.
I love it. Saving our planet. 1 tree at a time. I love it.
1 tree at a time. This is our charity at Trinity Pros. So we've planted over 4,000 trees so far by planting a tree every time we put a consultant to work. And I'll send you a certificate that lets you know that we planted these trees in your name.
Wow. Well, that is a real gift. Thank you so much for doing that great work. Again, you know, all these surprises we get in our space, right? So thank you. And thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story.
Oh, gosh, you're so welcome. I can't wait for this podcast to be published because it's going to be a popular one. That's it for this week's episode of Learning Leader Spotlight. Be sure to tune in next week.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.